I'm John Batchelor. Yemen, the Arabian Peninsula, a nation once of 26 million, divided into many parts over a vast landscape. But now, these last years, violence and non-transparency. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is with me. And we're very pleased to welcome Elena Delosier, the Rubin Fellow, Family Fellow in the Bernstein Program, Gulf and Energy Policy at the Washington Institute. And recently, Elena, writing on the Yemen war, dragging on for years in this, what you'd have to say, a science fiction landscape. Houthi strikes on UAE open another front in Yemen war. First graph, January 17th, within hours, a series of suspected Houthi drone strikes targeted fuel trucks in Abu Dhabi, outside of Abu Dhabi City, along with construction site at the capital's international airport. Video posted on Twitter showed massive billowing clouds of black smoke. Initial reports suggest three people were killed, two Indian nationals and a Pakistani, and six injured, marking the first known deaths inside the UAE stemming from the Yemen conflict. Elena, a very good evening to you. Has a red line been crossed? Is this surprising to you? And what happens next? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me. Is it surprising? No, not really. I think that it is a little surprising that the UAE has made the choice to re-enter the conflict in Yemen, because they said for years since 2019 when they pulled out, they've said they're definitely not going in. No way. We've changed our entire foreign policy. We're not doing intervention anymore. We're out. We're out. We're out. You know, they haven't sent troops back on the ground. They haven't done, they're not back in that, you know, on the ground in that way, but they have, it seems, started to support the coalition efforts against the Houthi rebels in Yemen again more recently. And as a result, the Houthis have then decided to attack Abu Dhabi to try to, I think, push the UAE out, to raise the costs of the UAE being back in the Yemen conflict and trying to get them back out again.
Malcolm. Haven't UAE-backed forces of late been successful in the Shabwa governorate, forcing the Houthis out, and also in some of the neighboring areas, Al-Baida and Marib governates? Does this really mark a significant shift in the ground battle in Yemen, and did that occasion the drone attacks?
Yeah, so what happened is basically there's this province called Marib in Yemen, which is right smack in the middle of the country, and it's the energy-rich province. It's a really big prize for the Houthis if they could get it. And for the last year or more, they've been really fighting hard in Marib, and they've been just inch by inch taking the province. And the fear is that if Marib falls, that's sort of game over for Yemen, that means that the Houthis have basically won the war. There's a whole series of reasons why Marib is so critical. But they've struggled to take the province. You know, some people at first thought it would be within weeks, and then it's dragged into, you know, over a year. And so they've tried a few moves. So one of those moves was to go kind of into Shabwa, which is a province south of Marib, in order to kind of hook around and try to get at Marib City in a different way. And what's happened in the last couple of weeks is, as you mentioned, these UAE-aligned forces, and I say aligned rather than backed, for, you know, they were originally backed by the UAE. They're now under the coalition. But these UAE-aligned forces have suddenly ramped up, come into the province, and started to push the Houthis back in a serious way. And so that's the difference in the last couple of weeks, is it has changed the Houthis' calculus, and they have gotten pushed back quite a bit.
Is this an escalation ladder that we're witnessing here, Elena? Has something changed profoundly that this will be a wider regional conflict?
That's a great question. That's certainly one of the concerns, because not so much because Yemen itself will somehow become regional. I mean, it's already regional, right? Like, not in the sense that the Yemen conflict itself will change that much, although the Yemen conflict seems to be pivoting from sort of a focus on diplomacy back to focusing on the military option. But it isn't the domestic Yemen situation that's connected to the region so much as the Houthi drones and missiles. So the Houthis have access to missiles and drones that can just go so far. And this is new in conflicts in general. I mean, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, this wasn't a thing. And now, you know, that you have a rebel group in a country that has access not just to missiles, not just to rockets, but to ballistic missiles. I mean, these are serious missiles. And to these drones that can go thousands of kilometers, you know, it allows a small rebel group in Yemen to attack a country like Saudi Arabia or like the UAE. That is a bit of a game changer. And because drones are so hard to stop, and you know, I'm not a military expert, so don't ask me to talk about this in too much detail, but you know, they're apparently very hard to see on radar because they're so small. And so, you know, missiles you can see, drones are harder. And so this is a real, you know, threat to everybody, basically. Everybody's paying attention to this, even if they're not the target of the Houthis.
Malcolm?
Isn't this escalation more strange in the view of the fact that that the UAE and Iran have been holding high-level negotiations over the past months? Would the Yemenis do this without Iran's backing, encouragement, support? What is the involvement in Iran in this?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the questions is whether Iran knew about this. And the answer could go either way, honestly. I wouldn't be surprised if someone told me they didn't know, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone told me that they did know. And the reason for that is because, you know, the Houthis really are an independent group in Yemen. They do receive backing from Iran, and that backing really matters. I mean, Iran is the one who has helped them with the missiles and the drone programs, which have allowed them to attack Saudi territory in a way that they would not have been able to do on their own. But I think it's really important to understand, I could go on and on with how Iran has helped the Houthis, by the way, but what it's important to understand is the source of the Houthis' power does not come from Iran. If Iran disappeared tomorrow, the Houthis would still be in charge of Yemen. There would be some things they wouldn't be able to do, such as attack Riyadh or, you know, at this point, they might be able to attack Riyadh or Abu Dhabi on their own. You know, because they've learned how to do that from Iran. But the source of their power inside Yemen is actually not based on the relationship with Iran. And so the relationship with Iran is a bit tricky in that way. So they don't necessarily take orders from Iran, although Iran and the Houthis have cooperated in the past. So it's just one of those, is this a case where it was cooperation? Maybe. Is this a case where it was just a Houthi decision? Maybe. We'll probably find out more in the coming days or weeks, but it could really go either way.
And Elena, is there an insurance change here because of this ability to strike the UAE? Are the insurance rates climbing, or are they already too high?
Well, so that's a fantastic question as well. Good questions. So the folks who insure like ships and stuff that go through the Red Sea, they're very concerned. Now, this particular attack, I think it's important to understand the Houthis have been doing these types of attacks on Saudi Arabia for a long time and on a weekly basis. I mean, I cover Yemen every day, and almost every day there's some report in the news about the Saudis intercepted 4 missiles or 4 drones or 6 missiles or 6 drones. And so this is the you know, it's different because it's an attack on the UAE, which is further away, but this is activity that's been happening. And so if you're an insurance provider, you've been paying attention to this. And the Houthis have also lobbed missiles into the Red Sea previously, and they've done these explosive boats. And there's a whole bunch of things that folks that deal with transportation through the Red Sea have been looking at, and insurance rates have gone up. Whether specifically the attack on Abu Dhabi will raise rates, I don't know, but I can tell you that rates are higher in general because of the Houthi threat to international shipping, broadly speaking.
We have 1 minute, Malcolm.
So just could you give us an assessment? Have the Houthis been retaining territory, gaining territory, or losing in Yemen in the last weeks?
About 30 seconds, Elena. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the last 2 weeks, losing territory, but that has not been the case for the last year. So we'll have to see sort of whether they do a counteroffensive. We'll have to see sort of what happens, but the answer in the last 2 weeks is losing territory, at least a little bit.
Elena Delozier is the Rubin Family Fellow in the Bernstein Program on Gulf and Energy Policy at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, Malcolm Holmline Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.